Praise the Lord. We may get back to reading some mail at church. We used to do that all the time. We'd read letters and things that came in. And part of my trouble is that, 200 people like something, a couple of people don't, and the two people that don't tell you about it, and you get thinking, well, maybe people don't like it. Well, stop doing it. So if you're one of the two people that doesn't like to hear these letters, update your Facebook or something while I read them. Dear church, I stumbled upon your church's website several months ago and have been listening to your sermons while at work. I'm thankful for the pastor's willingness and diligence to preach the Word of God, regardless of whether the views are popular to the masses. I would like to pass on to him that his recent series on mental health was a blessing and was truly eye-opening on a topic that's rarely mentioned in churches. His message has always caused me to dig deeper into the Scriptures, and I enjoy learning from the preaching. I am sure that you get many discouraging messages, so I wanted to send a quick note of thanks. Keep on preaching the truth. No, actually, my life's better. Brother Ed gets the discouraging messages and does his best to make sure I never see them. It's good for my mental health. All right, dear church, we really have appreciated both your new series, The Preaching of the Cross, and the Romans studies. You have surpassed yourself. We attended different churches for over 50 years. We did not realize how much we were missing until we started listening to the Bible Baptist Church online, streaming 6 years ago. What an eye-opener that has been. And may we commend you. You've trained so many men so well. It is a blessing to tune in every Sunday and Thursday evening, knowing that whoever is preaching, they will know God's Word much better than preachers that we have heard for many, many years. Thank you so much for all of you for your dedication to Holy Scripture and for your love for the brethren to know God's truth. So that's a nice letter. This one says, Dear Pastor, had to let you know that you've been such a great blessing to me. I've only just recently found your messages on YouTube, and that you can watch on your phone. And I have since listened to as many as I possibly can. Appreciate a man of God who preaches with boldness, has an uncompromising stand on the Word of God. There is a target audience out there. It's people that believe the Bible and are hungry for it. A couple of more here this evening. Dear Pastor, I'm writing to thank you for your honest preaching and teaching of the Bible. I'm a 35-year-old married mom of four in New York. I repeated a prayer when I was young and lived a life of total sin and struggle until July 21, 2017. I've been to various rehabs and tried time and time again to straighten my life out on my own. I couldn't sleep on July 21st, and I came across the sermon, Jesus Dies as God. It reached my heart like nothing I had ever heard. I realized the prayer I repeated when I was eight was of no effect. I thought my entire life I was a saved person, just struggled with my flesh more than other people. But now I am saved. I am born again. There's a lot more to my story, but I'm trying to be brief and hope you'll read what follows. I wrote a poem I'd like to share with you. Thank you again for everything you do, for preaching God's Word, and praise the Lord. So there's somebody just couldn't sleep, tired of sin, found a sermon on the cross and was saved. Hallelujah. That's a blessing. And then this is local. This is a YND letter. We need your financial support. So drop it off at the station. Dear Pastor, I turned on your broadcast Thursday regarding Acts 12:4, Easter. A stumbling block for some. I have a Strong's Concordance and a Green's Interlinear. The term Easter is translated in both as the Passover. But your explanation that the Roman Herod's understanding might have affected the King James translators to render the term from the Roman perspective as Easter is insightfully thought-provoking. And I will have to take a look at this issue once again. Thank you once again for adding to my studies and food for thought. And yes, I pray for your continued bold, safe, and successful teaching of the Christ. So when your Strong's and your Green's Interlinear fails you, you can always go to the Bible. And the Bible to clear up what the concordance confounds. You know, I have a Strong's concordance, and I use it for finding references. I don't ever use it for finding what a word means. I wouldn't go to a Romanian dictionary to get the meaning of a Spanish word. And I wouldn't go to a Greek dictionary to get the meaning of an English word, especially a Greek dictionary put together by a man that didn't believe the fundamental truths of the Bible. He was a Greek scholar. Listen. His Greek scholarship would be kindergarten stuff compared to the men that gave you the King James Bible. And we don't put our faith and trust in men. We believe God had his hand in translating, preserving his word. But if you're just going to trust a group of men, when it comes to languages and Bible translation, those men could run circles around anybody that's ever tried to correct or improve upon their work. So we'll stick with that. So, all right, Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. And verse number 20, we are moving out. Romans 1 and verse 20, but we won't be moving out once we hit this verse. It's loaded. I mean, it is loaded down. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Only God would expect you to see what's invisible and see it clearly. Invisible things of Him of the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So there is sight with the eyes, but there's also sight with the understanding. And many people see with their eyes, but they have no understanding. And some people have understanding of things they've never seen with their eyes. And that's the statement here. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Here's what you have in this verse. You have to deal with invisible things. You have to deal with creation. You have to deal with the world being created. You have to deal with the understanding God has given. You have to deal with the fact that God is eternal. You have to deal with the fact that our God is a Godhead. It's a Trinity. And then you have to deal with the fact that men are without excuse based not upon what they can see, but on what they can't see. They're without excuse not on the basis of anything they've done, but on the basis of what they've failed to do. That's believe. So we've got a lot to talk about in this one little verse of Scripture here. Father, help us tonight. We sure do thank You for a Bible, a perfect Bible. Thank You, Lord, for saving that lady in New York. And Lord, all the other people have been saved today in different churches and different mission stations and different evangelistic outreaches around this world. We know it brought You great joy to see one sinner and then another repent. And we pray, God, even now that You'd begin to fill our hearts with joy and anticipation about going out these next couple of weekends and getting Your word to the multitudes at these parades. And we pray Your blessing upon that. Help us with Your word now tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You know, just a word about the parades. I know there's people that say door knocking doesn't work nowadays and people don't like it. And people say giving out tracts doesn't work nowadays and people don't like it. And preaching on the street doesn't work nowadays and people don't like it. Can you show me anywhere in the book of Acts where God told His people to go ask the lost people what they liked and do it that way? I don't get that. Christ died, He was buried, He rose again, and He said, "Go tell everybody." And you think the early church sat around and said, "Well, let's figure out a way to go tell the Corinthians that won't bother them, or won't upset them, or won't offend them?" No, they just did what Jesus told them to do. And you say, "Well, how successful was it?" I don't know. There's a church here right now, 2,000 years later. I don't know many businesses have been going 2,000 years uninterrupted, spread worldwide in spite of opposition and persecution. And not many of those. But here's one. I guess the biggest corporations in the world today are probably the oil companies and McDonald's and Coca-Cola. It's, I mean, it's about all you need, a Coke and a bad burger and a car to get to the drive-in. But anyway, those companies only been going 200 years, 100 years at the most, 100 and some years. Church been going 2,000 years, and everybody wants to tell God how he should have done it different. Everybody wants to say, well, you know, let's try a different model. Let's try a different approach. Why would you change something that has been successful in every culture of the world for 2,000 years? Who are you to suggest there's a better way to do it? People are amazing, aren't they? Well, you know, you'd be more successful. Try your way, and after 2,000 years, let me know how it's going. We'll stick with the book. All right. Creation. The greatest servant Satan has had in the last two centuries was a man named Charles Darwin. And Charles Darwin and his theory of evolution has been the most damaging thing to American society and Western culture that the devil ever invented. Because if you don't believe there's a God, you end up with individuals living like you read about in the latter half of Romans 1. You get enough of those individuals, your entire culture and society will be characterized by the sins and the crimes you read about in Romans chapter number 1. The Bible says what will keep you from murder and keep you from becoming a sodomite and keep you from being a lying reprobate is the fear of a creator to whom you are accountable. So if you teach successive generations of school children there is no creator to whom they are accountable, you get what we have today. And so how do we get out of this mess that we're in? The only way you get out of this mess we're in is to do to Darwin what you did to the Bible, kick him out of the schools. Just throw it out. We can't have the Bible in the school. It's a religious belief. So is evolution. We can't have Christianity in the school that offends people. Evolution offends sane people. Charles Darwin wrote, and you just before you get your degree, you ought to read what he wrote sometime instead of what people said he wrote. Charles Darwin wrote that blacks and brown-skinned peoples were the link between apes and humans. That's what Darwin taught. That's what Darwin believed. And Darwin's theory was the force behind Stalin and Hitler and Mussolini and the eugenics movement and Planned Parenthood. They took Darwin's writings and tried to eliminate people who weren't white enough because they believed they were hindering evolution. Well, I never heard that before. Of course you didn't. That's what Darwin wrote. Darwin said the female brain would never develop sufficiently for her to be equal with a man in anything, and that she was only had sufficient evolution to do certain domestic duties. Why don't they teach that in the college when they're bragging about Darwin and evolution? You'd lose your teaching job if you taught that as a professor. That's what Darwin taught. Now, let's try Jesus Christ. I prefer him to a dead man. Mark chapter number 10. Just let Jesus weigh in on creation just for a moment. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 2. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? What's the temptation? They wanted Jesus to sanction divorce. That would have set him against God the Father. Not trying to offend anybody, just giving you the context. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement to put her away. Jesus answered and said to them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. He said that commandment was to hold a society together until God could fix their hearts. That's what he said. He said God allowed a man to put away his wife. God allowed a wife to be put away because people's hearts were too hard to fix the thing. Now, how does that fit in with somebody saved and got the Holy Spirit? Is your heart supposed to be that hard? Well, all right, that's not our topic for tonight. Verse number 6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. You know what Jesus Christ believed? Creation. That's what he believed. And he believed at creation that God did not make apes or monkeys from which men would evolve. He made a man and he made a woman. The man was a male. He was not confused about it. And the woman was a female. She was not conflicted about the matter. And God put a man and a woman together. Now, do you understand that every bit of confusion in your society about genders and sexuality and marriage and divorce, every bit of it is a result of not believing in creation. If you believe the Bible account of creation, it solves all your questions about marriage, about divorce, about homosexuality, about gender identity. God made men, God made women, God put a man and a woman together. He started as a man, she started as a woman. They didn't start as something else and turn into it over hundreds of millions. It's all right there. It's all right there. Now if you throw out creation, you got mothers not sure if their 9-year-old is a boy or a girl. You call that evolution? I call that insanity. Somebody's cuckoo. This is my child. Was it a boy or a girl? We don't know yet. He's only 14. Everybody's crazy. The principal's crazy. The school teacher's crazy. The counselor's crazy. The parents are crazy. The friends of the parents are crazy. They're all out of their minds. Because they don't believe in creation. Pretty simple. Bible says in verse number 7, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Didn't say shall a man break away from the pack of gorillas and seek a half-human female. You know what the man and the woman produced? Men and women. It's right there, according to Jesus now. That's what Jesus said. And they twain shall be one flesh. That's not an overnight encounter, fornicating. That's an ongoing relationship. They shall be one flesh. What about the thing? Says whosoever joined a harlot is one flesh. There's a moment in time when two people are joined together in a sinful act. That's not what God's talking about here. God said shall be. That man joins that woman, it's ongoing. That's what the Lord said. Now, why isn't it that way in your society? Because they don't believe Jesus Christ said this, and if they think he said it, they think he was wrong. That's just how it is. Now, they twain shall be one flesh. They shall be no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not trying to condemn you or criticize you for something you did before you got saved, before you knew better. But why would you go to a judge and feel justified because a judge told you could do something when God told you not to? I can find 1,000 men in this town tell you it's okay to get drunk. Just because you found somebody to approve of what you want to do doesn't mean God approves of it. But too much of that nowadays. So let's come back here to Romans. Now, don't lose Mark. We're not finished with Mark yet. But all this junk's going on in your society, it's because people don't believe in God. You know, some of your grandparents, bless your heart, I don't mean to be mean, I just am. Some of your grandparents hated each other. And they stayed together till they died because it's what God expected of them. And they weren't even saved. Today, God is everybody's feelings. Well, I just feel God wants me to be happy. I just feel like God gave me peace about it. I just feel like God told me it was okay. When you say God, you mean you. That's what's going on. And then people come, well, I'll go sit and talk with the pastor. You'll sit and talk with the pastor as long as he agrees with you. And when he doesn't agree with you, you'll go talk to some other pastor. And you'll keep going until you find one that tells you what you want to do is okay. That's this generation. That's Darwin. These churches say, well, you know, our denomination, we apologize. We used to stand against homosexuality, but our views on the matter have evolved over time. That's Darwin. Who told you to evolve a church position on righteousness? You didn't get that out of the Bible. You got a Darwin foundation, and you're trying to make it work with a Christian church, and sooner or later, Darwin's going to take over. Now, Romans 1, come back there, and verse number 1 says, from the creation of the world. Now, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe in creation, you're going to substitute God for something else. Verse 23, you're going to change something glorious into something corrupt. That's what he said. You're not going to find something equally glorious and substitute that for God. You're going to substitute for the glorious God something corruptible. That's what your society has done in my lifetime. Come on, if you're 60 years and older, 50 years and older, when you were a child, lost people had more respect for Bible principles than saved people do today. It's a disaster. You are living in a disaster. Now, what's the result of this thing? Verse number 26, vile affections. Verse 27, homosexual behavior. Verse 28, reprobate minds. Verse 29, fornication, maliciousness. Verse 30, haters of God, so on and so forth. All of that stuff, all that sin, all of that, I can't believe people are doing this. God says it's because they don't believe in creation. That's what he said. Look at Mark 13. Mark 13, talking about Jesus Christ now. I believe in Him, hope you believe in Him. Hope you believe what He said. Mark 13, verse 14. Some of you, or many of you this week, are going to be sent to a website. You're going to get an email. You're going to get a book offer. You're going to be offered a video. And it's going to contain the latest proof that these are the last days. Can you do yourself a favor? Don't respond to any of it. It's an absolute total waste of your time and of your money. I have lived through, in 40 years of being saved, I've probably lived through 200 last days, end of the world, economic collapses, freedom gone, concentration camps, starvation, blood moons. How about Jesus? Anybody here want to know what Jesus said? 14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down to the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house, and let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not winter, for in those days. Okay, look, here's all you need to know. If the Antichrist has not set an image to be worshipped in the temple at Jerusalem, these aren't the last days. Jesus said, until you see that, and if you're saved, you won't see it. So the only thing that would show you that the tribulation has begun is something that if you're saved, you won't be here to see. So you are not to spend 1 minute of your time looking for any indication that these are the last days. You're to be looking for Jesus to come and take you out. Well, John Hagee wrote this book about the blood moons. You mean the guy that left his wife for the young gal in his church? That John Hagee? Why would you pay any attention to what a man says about the last days, Mark 13, when he didn't pay attention to what God said about marriage in Mark 10? Why would you send him any of your money to read any of his false teachings? You're welcome. We'll see how much you want me to stay. 18, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. You know what that is? That's Jesus Christ speaking. You know what Jesus Christ said? God created the creation. That was the beginning of time. And the end of time will be when God shuts it down. So you don't need to worry about the Koreas and the Irans and the Bushes and the Clintons and all the rest of that. You just need to be right with God. God started it, God will stop it. Now what is weird is there's one thing pretty much common through the last 25 years. Pretty much every end time this is it, we're all done for in the last 25 years, it's all had something to do with Hillary. She has shown herself quite beast-like for going on 3 decades now. I got stuff from back in the 80s, man. This is the end times because of these wackos in Arkansas bringing all the drugs in. And here she is still going, man. It's just amazing. I guess she's still going. She might be one of those robot things. Nah, they'd have made her prettier than that. Listen, you don't have to like everything there is about Trump. But what do you want? Orange hair or that orange pantsuit for 4 years? I don't like his tweets. You want to get nagged for 4 solid years? All right. Anyway, that didn't have, well, it did have something to do with it. Because when Reagan was president, I mean, I was saved then. And he's the Antichrist. He was Antichrist. How many of you remember when Ronald Reagan was Antichrist? He was an actor. Well, that proves it right there. But watch. Ronald, count them. R-O-N-A-L-D. Wilson, count them. W-I-L-S-O-N. Reagan, R-E-A-G-A. 666. There he is. You think I'm joking? Here you are struggling to pay your bills and somebody made a fortune teaching that stuff. And then, H.W., he was the Antichrist. But you got to be smarter than that to be the Antichrist. And then Clinton was the Antichrist. He wasn't the Antichrist. He's just a perv. And then Georgie Boy, he was Antichrist, you know, that whole Muslim thing and Saudi Arabia and all that. And then, oh, this is it, Obama. There's no way Jesus got to come. We go, Obama? Well, here we are. This thing is not, the Great Tribulation starts with the abomination of desolation set up in the temple at Jerusalem. Anything else that happens is not that. And if it's not that, it doesn't kick off the end times. So relax. Enjoy your life. Win people to the Lord. Tell people about Jesus. Look for Christ to come. How depressing to be looking for the Antichrist. Maybe that's him. Maybe that's him. You know who Jesus Christ is. Look to him. Hallelujah. Man, I get depressed reading about those other guys. Evil stuff, man. Old Trump, he said he's going to drain the swamp. He got out there and found out that swamp reached all the way around the world. That's a big swamp. And it's hard to find a plug in the bottom of it. Amen. All right, so Jesus Christ believed in creation. We've had some people through here from time to time, and they would just, they come from some of these liberal churches, these mainline churches, and they think that you can be a Christian and believe in evolution. You can't be a Christian who thinks Jesus Christ lied. That's not Christian. You're not trusting and following Jesus Christ if you think he was wrong about the most fundamental truth that was ever taught. You know what God could have done? Because see, some of you don't think that, you think that was overstated. You know what you could have in Genesis 1? Genesis 1:1 could say, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Genesis 1:2 could say, "And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And Genesis 1:3 could say, "But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God." See, there it goes. Even them believe on his name. God could have put the plan of salvation in the first five verses of the Bible. You know what he started with? "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Because if you don't believe that, you're not going to believe anything else in this book. So many people come through here, you know, and you preach this, and they say, "Well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I think if you really studied science, you wouldn't believe in creation. You got to look at other views and other points of view." How could you ask me to be a better Christian by embracing Darwin's lies in opposition to what Jesus said? You know what that is? That's a Christianity. It's about 10% Christianity and 90% public schools and the National Geographic Channel. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for 100% Word of God, Holy Bible Christianity. All right, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. You sound angry. Somebody getting murdered right now. Some child is being harmed right now. That doesn't bother you? It bothers me. And it's being done by people who aren't afraid of God. Don't believe there's a God. Don't believe they're accountable to God. So you just may as well get all the thrills in, all the kicks in you can before you die. That's what you're dealing with. All right, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 and verse number... Well, this is God. This is God talking. I like when God brags on himself. Verse 18. Let's just go ahead and read it. "To whom then will you liken God? Or to what likeness will you compare unto him?" You know what that is? That's Romans 1. What are you going to make? You're going to make a bird God? You're going to make a turtle God? You're going to make a lion God? You're going to make a man statue God? What are you going to make with your hands that can compare to God? "The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains." Ooh. "He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot." I mean, if you're going to make a God, you want to make it out of good wood that'll last at least to New Year's. He "seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved." You got to fasten it in place or it'll tip over. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, Wow, you mean it's round? And the inhabitants, who would have thought you'd had to address that? The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. You know what the Bible says? Those heavens, somebody stretched them out. That earth, it had a founder. Somebody formed it. Somebody made it. And verse 23, that bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they should not be planted, yea, they should not be sown, yea, their stock should not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. You know what God said? If you had the sense that he gave a human being, which you do, you could go out at night and look up in the sky and know you are not the most important thing going. And know that you have a very short shelf life. And know that there is someone almighty. You'd know in your heart, if you go out there and look at that, you'd know in your heart there's a God. And he's powerful. And he's intelligent. And he's permanent. Because those stars you look at, if you go back, the oldest records you can find that men charted those stars and they're all exactly where they were when the first men first charted them. They're right there. They hadn't gone anywhere. The men that traveled and sailed by the stars 5,000, 6,000 years ago can travel and sail to the same destinations by the same stars today. Not one of them fails. Not one of them moves. They're right there. Where's Darwin? Where's Stalin? Where's Hitler? Where's FDR? Where's Einstein? Where are they? Food for worms. Where's God? Right there. Right there. How do you know God's eternal? Look what he made. It's right there. Now you know what man does? I'm telling you, they get away from this Bible. Here's what they do. Man goes out there and he sees a real bright one. And he could say, glory to God, hallelujah, but he says, I'll call that Mercury. There's another bright one. He could give glory to God. He says, I'll call that one Venus. How dare you take things God gave names to and name them after false gods of the heathen? Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. You know what those are? Those are Roman and Greek gods. They're mythological creatures. And you're going to make fun of us for believing the Bible? You're going to get a little sign and say reality, not mythology? Seriously? You're going to get in your Gemini rocket and go up there and look around, or your Atlas rocket? You want to do it? Be the Apollo program or the Mercury program? So you believe, if you believe in evolution, what you do is you name a rocket after gods and you name planets after gods, and then you try to go up there and find out where man came from. That's a lot of money wasted. To find out what you could have found out on the first page of the Bible. God said, what'd you make? That's what I made. What'd you make? Now there are some people, they're lost people, but they're really smart. You're not supposed to envy people, but there's some people I envy. Do you know somebody has made millions and millions of dollars? getting you to spend $100 to name a star after your girlfriend? Here it is, honey. It's right here. In the 15th galaxy, past the 32nd planet, there's a star out there and it's got your name on it. Yeah, that's great. How about pay the rent? No, I named a star after you. Too late. God named them all. That's what He said. He knows all their names. He's got a name for every one of them. You stand before God one day and say, who are you? He said, well, I'm the man that discovered Neptune. Well, first of all, I made Neptune, and it's not Neptune. It's hallelujah. There is no Neptune. What if those stars are named Hallelujah number 1, Hallelujah number 2, Hallelujah number 3, Hallelujah number 4,572? Yeah. How about this? You all right? Everybody happy? Says He stretched them out like a curtain, right? Isn't that what He said? The heavens. He unrolled them like a scroll. Isn't that right? Here's Alfred said, it's not Bible, it's Alfred, but Alfred said, what if you're looking up there and it's all what you think it's depth perception, but it's just a great big curtain and a scroll with different intensity of lights in it? He said, one day they're going to send one of those ships up there and they're going to go too far and they're going to rip right through the curtain and be in the presence of God. So no, there's 800 million zillion miles out there. Said the guy that told you that in 400 million billion years, a rock turned into a monkey. It's just odd how people are so willing to believe anything a scientist says, but they got doubts about pretty much everything they read in the Bible. Not me. I've lived long enough to see science change its opinion about pretty much everything, at least once. Science says, yeah. Yeah, we're all going to freeze. No, wait, we're all going to burn up. No, wait, let's just be safe from here on out and call it climate change. That way, whatever happens, we can say we knew it was going to happen. It's funny they know how high the ocean's going to be in 120 years, but they said it was going to rain yesterday and it didn't. I'd work on tomorrow before I went out 100 years. Job 31. The guy that's telling you that Florida's going to be underwater in 2 decades if we don't stop taking long showers, he's the same guy said a hurricane was coming, cross your fingers. It's 600 miles across. The winds are 180 miles an hour, but it's okay. I got my fingers crossed. That'll stop it. That'll stop it. Job 31. You say you don't take all that stuff too seriously. I take it as seriously as they take the Bible. Job 31:26. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in its brightness. See, there's moonwalk in the Bible. You didn't know. you didn't know moonwalk was in the Bible. There it is. The moon walking in brightness. And my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand. This also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. You know how up to date this book is? Job is the oldest known literature on earth. He said, if I go out at night and see the moon, and I love myself, God's going to judge me for that. If I go out in the daytime and see the sun and I think I'm great, God's going to judge me for that. How could you look at creation and be impressed with yourself? How could you look at what God made and think that you were the center of anything? That's in the oldest book on the earth. He said, look up, man, look up. We're nothing. We're small. We're temporary. We're puny. We're pitiful. You just don't know me like I know me. I'm the greatest. Wouldn't it be foolish to look at the sun and the moon and it provokes you to kiss your own hand? Evolution makes fools out of a nation. This country has been for 30 years, from morning to noon to night, they've been told to love themselves. And there has never been a time, there's never been a people who need so many antidepressants and so many uppers and who are so suicidal and who are in such despair. It's not working. Loving yourself is driving you to despair. You need God. You need to love God. I just love myself. A lot. It's a recipe for disaster. When you see that sunrise tomorrow, and when you see that moon come up in the sky tonight, when you go out and say wow at all those stars, don't kiss your hand. Give glory to God. Psalm 19. We were going to get farther than the first two paragraphs tonight. Psalm number 19. I don't know what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do anymore. I feel so sorry for those of you that have businesses and run businesses. This people say, well, you know, we don't want socialism to take over. We don't want communism to take over. It you're about as close to it as you can get. You can't hire who you want to hire. You can't rent to who you want to rent. You can't. I'm going to buy a house and I'm going to rent it out to whoever I want to. No, you're not. I'm going to start a company. I'm going to hire people that, well, we'll see. What y'all do, just bring a guy in for an interview and just say, okay, first question I got for you. Do you believe in creation or evolution? If he says evolution, I wouldn't hire him. Because he doesn't believe in the person who said, thou shalt not steal. He doesn't believe in the person who said, thou shalt not bear false witness. You want somebody working for you who thinks stealing and adultery and lying are relative terms? Not me. So I just don't think it matters if people believe in evolution or not. It certainly does matter. Thou shalt not kill. That came from God. You don't believe in God? What are you going to have? Murder. All right, Psalm 19. Here we go. Psalm number 19. Well, somebody filed three lawsuits against you if you ask that question. You don't even work for them. You're just interviewing for a job. And you ask the wrong question. And here somebody's going to call you in for some labor relations board or some alphabet organization. It's crazy, man. You sink 10 years of your life and 30-year bank note into a company, and then you're forced to hire people that you know aren't going to work. And once you hire them, you can't get rid of them. What a disaster, man. Make America great again. It'd be a job to make America sane again. Great's way down the road. Crazy, man. Bring all our factories back. You know, granted, if you could fix this tax thing, some people might consider bringing their factories back. But why would I bring a factory back from a country where the people will work as hard as they can all day long? and bring it back to a place where I got to give men maternity leave. I mean, how do you get that stupid? Well, I mean, the wife's carrying the baby, but he might be the female. You know, it just depends on how he identifies. The whole place is nuts. I mean, it's eventually going to burn itself to the ground. It has to burn itself. Well, it's not fair to give the woman maternity leave if you're not going to give the man maternity leave. I'd tell them both to leave. Never mind, just stay gone as long as you want. You going to pay me? No, Uncle Sam will send you a check once a month. It'll be just be easier for all of us. Just. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. Have you heard that declaration lately? It's tough living in a city. It is. Isaiah says it's a bad business. Crowd too many people in one place. The buildings get so high and the lights get so bright and the noise gets so great, you can't behold or hear the declaration of God's glory. You need to go somewhere at night, get out in the creation at night, armed, and everything's so messed up. And just take a look up there and let God declare to you that He's so much more powerful than governments and armies and all these other things. He is. He is. He'll be there. He'll be there. And all this stuff's crumbled and gone. He'll be there. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. When you see, here's what the pagan says, nature. Nature. Granted, it's natural, but it had a creator. It's God's handiwork. It's God's handiwork. I was thinking this morning, I had so many things to say this morning I didn't say. Man, we were starting, started three churches, working a job, but we had two little children. We were trying to get this church started, and my wife washed cloth diapers and sewed our daughter's dresses. It's cheaper, saving money. It's just hard work. It was. We had a solar clothes dryer, which is way ahead of. I mean, it's good for the economy, good for the environment, Solar clothes dryer. It's a line with pins. Anyway. But our daughter never walked into church with one of those dresses on, and not one person ever thought, wow, what happened? Well, there was some thread and fabric in the closet, and we opened the closet door one day, and there was a dress. And it fit. Nobody's that dumb. Oh, wow, you got a new car? It's the strangest thing. I went out in the garage, and I had all these parts and nuts and bolts and everything, and one day there was a car there. It's amazing. Well, J. Vernon McGee, he said one time, believe in evolution is like believing that an explosion in a print shop resulted in a dictionary, which means nothing to you anymore because you've never seen a print shop. But back in the day, that old, each letter you had to put the little type in. First newspaper I worked on, I was in junior high school, we set the type one letter at a time in a tray. That's true. It's a true story. New Smyrna Beach, Florida. And I could also show you the log house I lived in. That's true. That's true. Palm logs. Wachula, Florida. How about that? Man, I could run for president on that. If all this preaching wasn't on the internet. Can you imagine that? Every day would be another story about what he said about Islam, what he said about Catholics, what he said about Protestants. And they they think Trump's radical. Way to get a hold of me. Be the last Trump. Lord, I have to rapture everybody. All right. Firmament showeth the handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Do you hear it? Do you hear God saying, I'm the Creator, I'm the Almighty, I'm powerful, I made you? Do you hear that? Night unto night showeth knowledge. I'm not picking on Jed. He's right on the money. How can God teach you anything when 24 hours a day something is blaring in your ears? Get out if it's just the yard. Just get out there and watch birds and look at the ground and watch the insects and look at how everything works together and everything fits together. And it's not managed. It's functioned perfectly for 6,000 years. It's incredible. Just amazing. Some of you remember this. When all of our beaches were going to be destroyed and all the sea life was going to die because of that oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Remember that? I mean, they showed you pictures of millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of gallons of oil pouring up out of the ground. And guess what happened? The Gulf of Mexico ate it. So how to do that? I don't know. I'm not God. But it ate it. And when they zoomed those cameras in on that oil coming up out of that oil well, it looked horrific. And then somebody took the amount of oil that they estimated had come out of that horizon tower thing, and then they took the number of gallons they estimated in the Gulf of Mexico, and it was equal to the can of soda in an 80,000-seat football stadium. God's big. God's really, really, really big. And He's really, really, really powerful. And man is just, we're just ants on one anthill, on one planet, in one galaxy, in God's great big universe. You just need to listen to His voice and you need to let Him teach you. Man is not going to stop God from doing what He said He would do. Verse number 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. So, everybody in the world doesn't have a church like this to go to. But everybody in the world can attend a tabernacle. In them, as He said, a tabernacle for the Son. And what Romans 1 says is, the reason one civilization advances and another one goes backward into the Stone Age is because when one civilization looks up and sees that sun, moon, and stars, they say, there is a God, I want to know Him. And another civilization says, let me make a totem or a statue or an image and bow down to something I made with my hands. And that's the history of the world. So what about the cavemen? They're in Genesis. People end up in caves when God destroys their cities because they live wickedly. That's in Genesis. They didn't start in caves. They started in a beautiful garden with intelligence enough to name all the animals, intelligence enough to build a society. The man smart enough to build a boat that can sail through the greatest flood the world's ever known. But they get off the boat and they start sinning and they begin to commit unnatural sins. And God sends fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah, and the people get out, end up living in caves. Probably drawing crummy little pictures on the walls. So, you know, civilization back then wasn't, you know, men weren't as smart as they are now, because look at these pictures they drew on the walls of the caves. Okay, in your house, who writes on the wall? Is it dad or is it the 5-year-old? Does anybody think the smartest guy in the tribe went out and took a small rock and on a big rock he tried to draw a stick man and that's the best they could do? People are saying, ah, yeah, science. Science. I'll tell you this story, and we'll, as far as we can go tonight, we can't start in the next thing here. But I know a lot of you heard this. We took our young people up to D.C. one year, a group of boys. I think Sam and Josh were with us on that trip. And we went to the Smithsonian Museum. And in the Museum of Natural History at the Smithsonian, they're showing a movie. And the movie was about the polar bear. And I kid you not, all you people are sitting there in our National Museum of Science, and the narrator said, in the Arctic, the foxes are white. And in the Arctic, the bunnies are white. And the black bears couldn't sneak up on the bunnies and the foxes. But over approximately 400 million years, the black bear evolved into the polar bear so they could catch the foxes and the bunnies. And one of our boys said out loud so everybody could hear him, and how did they live 400 million years without catching any food? Well, they ate berries. It's the Arctic. You know what that is? That's how dumb people with doctorate degrees become if they don't believe in creation. If something adapted what it needs to live over 500 million years, it couldn't have lived 500 million years to adapt what it needs to adapt. The giraffe stood under the tree long enough for its genes to realign themselves and its neck to grow so it could eat the branches on the high tree. No, but come on. Who's that stupid? If that's what you eat and you can't get it, you're dead. You don't live long enough to get the neck. We got to save the sea turtles because turn off because if they see a street light, they'll think it's the moon. And if they think that's the moon, they need to get run over. That's Darwin, survival of the fittest. This is our beach now. Go lay your eggs somewhere else. You said, you can't mean that. What would happen if all the sea turtles died off? The same thing that happened when all the dodo birds and carrier passenger pigeons died off. Whichever one of the pigeons it was. You know what happened when they died off? Nothing. Well, you know when all the dinosaurs died? What? You still got something to eat. Hard lugging one of those home after you shot it anyway. There it is, dear. Cook it. That thing weighs 5 tons. Yeah, it'll last us a long time. It'll last you a week. Got no fridge. What about those dinosaurs? Anybody want to know about the dinosaurs? I can tell you about the dinosaurs. It's easy. If you believe the Bible, it's easy. Reptiles, amphibians, they grow as long as they're alive. That alligator, he will keep growing as long as he lives. You won't. Your nose will and your ears will, but the rest of you will not. Live long enough, you'll look like Dumbo. Anyway. Sorry, Jed, that's in the hard drive. Okay. So, In Genesis, and I believe the Bible, men were living 600, 700, 800, and 900 years. Do you know how big a lizard would be if it lived 800 years? Do you know how big an alligator would be if it lived 700 years? It would be the size of a dinosaur. But they grow really, really slow. See, you could take a gator or take a lizard on an ark and you'd have plenty of room for it. Because it's just a little guy. And then you get off the boat and then you get a great big giant guy. And that's why you find in Texas one riverbed with human footprints and dinosaur footprints in the same mud. The only thing they don't know is who was chasing who. That's dinosaurs. People think they say, well, you know, the oil comes from dead dinosaurs. And then they figured out there couldn't have been that many dinosaurs. So it came from dead leaves. And then they figured out it couldn't come from that many dead leaves. I got a science book back here in my library. It's not a science book. It's an alt science book. There are wells in the Gulf of Mexico went dry in the 1960s and Shell Oil shut them down. And they went back in the 1990s and they were full again. That ain't dead dinosaurs. There's something burning down there in that earth that gives off a byproduct that you can process and burn up here on the surface. It's all in this book. It's all in this book. But I got to quit. My age, you got to stop in time to get to bed. Hey, can I say one more thing about this morning, and then we're done, Jeremy. We were done a long time ago. I've had a number of calls